of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the nations.
Welcome to our satellite radio broadcast, On the Road to Zion with Eliyahu Ben David. Hi, I'm Dawn. Visit us on the web and claim your free gift at www.tsiyon.org. And remember, the views expressed on this program are solely our own and don't reflect the opinions of any network station or sponsor involved in bringing our program to you. Now, on the road to Zion with the remnant people of God, here's the voice of Zion in exile, Eliyahu Ben David.
As long as the Matrix exists, the human race will never be free.
Shalom. The movie clip you were just listening to is from the Warner Brothers film, The Matrix. The clip speaks of a simulated reality called The Matrix that seems to be the real world to all the people whose minds are enslaved within it. However, as the movie progresses, we discover, along with Neo, the hero of the film, that the Matrix is really an elaborate deception designed to keep the human race blind to the real world and slaves to the unseen captors who are deceiving them. The inhabitants of the Matrix are living in two worlds at the same time. One is the simulated world, the Matrix, that is apparent to their consciousness and that dominates their lives. The other is the real world, to which they are oblivious. As the character Morpheus says in the film clip we just heard, as long as the Matrix exists, the human race will never be free.
Boy, that's a really bleak picture. Mm. Why is the Matrix movie of interest to our program?
This is the first in a series of On the Road to Zion programs that will investigate themes introduced to the public by the Matrix trilogy of movies. These movies have been a box office sensation, as well as having won numerous and well-deserved awards for every aspect of their artistic achievement. The Matrix movies are mentally stimulating, visually stunning, and artistically unique. These are all reasons why movie fans continue to view the Matrix films. However, none of these are reasons to discuss concepts from these movies on my program. My reason is much more personal.
Really?
Yes, much more personal. The Matrix is of special interest to me because I had a personal experience, which in its own way was something like the experience of Neo in the movie, who was unplugged from the Matrix. My experience was almost two decades before the Matrix films, however. I've documented that experience in my book, Holy Order Restored, which will be a constant reference in this series of programs. What I learned from that experience that I've documented in my book, in which I too was unplugged from something like the Matrix, is that there are indeed two worlds, one of which, even now, keeps mankind in bondage. I see the Matrix movies as common ground in popular culture from which I hope our program can free the minds of captives and lead them to the only real alternative, to Zion. The road to Zion is, in fact, the only road to freedom.
Fascinating. We will see how deep this rabbit hole goes right after this short break. Wouldn't it be nice if you were born with a blueprint for your life in your hand? Actually, many of us start with a flawed blueprint for our life, and we find out the hard way when the enduring structure we had hoped to build comes crashing down in a pile of rubble. Well, now you can cheer up. With the Creator's original blueprint restored, you can avoid a disaster like that or even recover from such a disaster. In fact, working from the right imprint of who you are truly meant to be, you can soar far above the limitations of a world determined to keep you down. In his new book, Holy Order Restored, Eliyahu Ben David shares God's timeless wisdom. Get your copy of Holy Order Restored by Eliyahu Ben David at Amazon.com or click the link from the Zion website at www.tsiyon.org. Restore holy order to your life starting today. Welcome back. Today's theme is The Matrix, Two Worlds. Is the premise of The Matrix that there are two worlds existing simultaneously a new concept?
Actually, it's not a new concept. This has been in popular literature, actually, for a long time. Back before the computer age, this used to be thought of as a real world and a dream world.
Oh, uh-huh.
There are stories going back centuries that are about the idea of being caught in a dream world that you think is the real world, and then when you have the dream is really what is real. So, actually, this is not a new idea. Of course, this is updated in The Matrix. They're not talking so much about a dream world anymore. Now it's a computer-generated other world. But it's really the same concept. In fact, there are philosophers, modern philosophers, and I guess what you might call scientific thinkers and scientific philosophers, who actually believe that it is not only possible, but even probable that there are people who live in simulated worlds.
Really?
Yes.
So like human beings are not actually living in reality. They're living in some kind of simulation according to these theories.
Yes. Yeah. So there are people who actually believe this as a scientific theory, and this is argued. And a lot of the talk and so on about this and the arguments have been brought forward because of the Matrix movies and the fact that they brought these concepts to the people. Generally, society hadn't thought much about these concepts until the Matrix movies that brought this out before the people. However, probably the oldest source that we could turn to for this idea of two simultaneous worlds would be the scriptures.
Yay!
Yes. And, of course, the Matrix movies borrow heavily from ideas in the scriptures.
Sure, they use character names, they use ship names, they use all kinds of scriptural references within the shows. And if you haven't seen the movie, it's okay. We're not going to rely on your knowledge of having seen the movie.
Right, although I would suggest for this series of discussions that if you could rent the movies or get a hold of them in some way to see them, it really would help to enlighten you with this series, and I think you will find this particular series here at Zion to be especially profound. We're going to be dealing with some very profound concepts, and these movies help to make these concepts more understandable, and that's really the reason why we are bringing them into the discussion. It's not that we think the Matrix movies are necessarily true in every aspect.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that, because you know, there are some things that are scriptural, but there are other things that are not.
Yeah, right. These are works of fiction meant to entertain you. So while they borrow heavily from the scriptures, they also borrow from Buddhism and other thoughts and then all kinds of secular things. They really access so many different realms of information in order to produce the Matrix movies. There are so many influences in the Matrix movies. However, this concept of two simultaneous worlds and how the characters within the Matrix movies deal with these two simultaneous worlds can be very instructive to us and help to set a direction to discuss various aspects of this. The reason we're so interested in this on our program, of course, our program is primarily for the remnant of Israel and for believers in Messiah. And you see, in the Matrix movies, Neo is portrayed as a sort of Messiah. He's really not put forth in the movies as someone who is Yeshua.
No, he's not a deity in any way, shape, or form. He's 100% human.
Right.
He's got a few gifts, but he's human.
But nevertheless, there's a messianic theme to the movies in the same way, for instance, as in the Superman concept. There's a messianic theme within that. So we have this theme along with other biblical themes that are involved in the movie. Well, we are messianics. So obviously, a movie that is built on a messianic theme is going to touch onto topics and subjects that would affect us. And because the movies have been so widely seen,
mm-hmm, that's true.
You see, it provides a common ground that we can really talk from. So we can kind of compare what the scriptures say in comparison to the Matrix. And some things track along very closely and other things are very different. And it's good to identify those differences as well.
Oh, sure, because there are some things in any movie or work, just like in this one, that can really lead you into some crazy thinking and some pit holes compared to Scripture.
That's true. And that's true with these Matrix movies. We do not endorse them as if they're truth. But nevertheless, they do talk about things that are true. And so we want to discuss some of these different aspects with you. Now, what we're talking about right now is this idea of two simultaneous worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should look at a couple of scriptures that seem to indicate this idea of two worlds. One is in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 13.
The Father who rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Now, you notice that all of this is in the past tense.
Right.
It's telling us already that the Father rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Okay, so kingdom is obviously one world, and your dominion is your other world.
Right. In the scripture, the dominion of darkness is the other world. Yet, those persons that are spoken of here in Colossians,
mm-hmm,
are not physically transported from one place to another.
Right, they're not geographically in a different location.
Right, so we have to assume that these two worlds, the dominion of darkness and the kingdom of the Son of his love, exist within the same space.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, this is really talking about a concept that is very similar to the concept in the Matrix movies, mm-hmm, in the respect that there are two worlds within one space.
And in the way the movie just gives us a way to picture how you could be in two places at once.
Yes, exactly. Now, another verse that talks about this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6.
God raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenly places.
Now, again, you notice that this is all in the past tense.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, while we are residing on the earth, there is a reality in which we have been raised up together and seated together in heavenly places. So again, it is talking about an experience of being in two places at one time, living in this world and at the same time being seated in heavenly places together. So these are just two examples that we have in the scriptures.
And of course, there's others, but we don't have time for them today.
Right. And I would say that in the future, we are going to develop this idea much more. We're going to look much more closely at what the two worlds are.
Okay.
And we will talk about this in detail. But today, because we're first starting out the program, we're just kind of laying out the big picture.
Filling in the details later.
Right.
Love, home, and a place to belong are all brought to mind by the word family. To the scattered remnant of Israel, family also includes members of one's clan, tribe, and the whole nation of believing Israel. In keeping with this restoration of family among believing Israel, all of the believing house of David is invited to a reunion and council meeting to be held in the early part of 2009. This historic meeting of the Believing House of David is meant to be a first step towards renewed family unity among all the clans and tribes of Believing Israel. Can you help us get the word out about this historic reunion? To learn how you can be involved, just take the Tent of David link from our Zion website at www.tsiyon.org. With your help, the family of Believing Israel can and will be restored. Now, on with our program. You know, I was recalling that you said that you had had this experience that was like Neo. Could you share with us some more information about that experience?
Yes. In my book, Holy Order Restored, I talk about that and I share that whole experience. What I want to say about the experience is that this was a life-changing experience for me. This happened over a quarter of a century ago. It really is not an exaggeration to say that for me, that experience was the same thing as Neo being unplucked. And it totally changed the whole direction of my life. It totally changed how I looked at everything. It made me aware of another world.
For anyone who hasn't seen the movie or hasn't seen it in a while, the scene you're referring to here is when Neo is living inside this matrix that's all computer simulated life. He doesn't know that there's a real life outside of this. And he's apparently in his 30s, and he suddenly becomes, after one choice that he makes, unplugged. And he's no longer in that computer simulation, and he's in the real world for the first time.
Exactly. This is what happened to him in the movie. I'm going to explain what happened and share my story about being unplugged. But before I get to that, I think I'd like to talk about a process that you find in the Matrix movie that was very real for me, and I think is very real for every seeker who comes to the same place of being unplugged. Perhaps a good way to introduce this idea is to play another clip from the Matrix.
I know why you're here, Neo. I know what you've been doing. I know why you hardly sleep, why you live alone, and why night after night you sit at your computer. You're looking for him. I know, because I was once looking for the same thing. And when he found me, he told me I wasn't really looking for him. I was looking for an answer. It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here. You know the question, just as I did.
What is the Matrix?
The answer is out there, Neo. It's looking for you. And it will find you, if you want it to.
Wow, that's a really powerful clip. It's the question.
Right, it's the question. Of course, this is in the early part of the Matrix movie. This is a character called Trinity, who has already been unplugged.
She kind of comes back to help Neo get unplugged.
Yeah, now this is the first time that Neo has actually met a character from outside the Matrix. And of course, he doesn't know what the Matrix is. Somehow he's heard about it. So he's had a question about it. What she says is, he thinks he's looking for someone, but he's really looking for an answer. Because he has this question. Now, in the movie, the question is formulated as, what is the Matrix? But what this is really all about, kind of what I sometimes call the cracks in the universe.
What do you mean by that?
Sometimes you're just living your life, and you will observe something that is an inconsistency.
It's a little out of sync with your worldview.
Even with the world as we know it. And there are things that come up like that sometime. And there are different things for different people that they observe. Now, for most people, what they do with these things is they just shrug them off and they go on because they have their goals in life. You know, they want to build up their business, or they have their social goals or whatever it is.
Or their family or whatever.
Right. And so these inconsistencies that they see in the world around them, although they might make them feel a little curious or something,
Like, oh, that's interesting. What's
right.
that?
Yeah. And they don't have a real pull on most people.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, there are some people like Neo, the character in the movie,
mm-hmm.
who are troubled by these inconsistencies in the universe.
And they're so bugged that they kind of have to follow them through till they find the answer. Why is it like this?
Right. They just keep searching. And in fact, to know the truth means so much to them that, like she points out about him, you know, he couldn't sleep because he was so fanatical, really, about finding the answer. And yet he didn't really know where to look. But as she said, if you want to know the answer, if you're willing to let that happen, then the answer will find you. That really is what happens with those people who must know the truth. If they want that to happen, the universe is constructed in such a way that it will happen. That's how it works. That's how it worked for me. You know, in some ways, I was a lot like Neo. I was a young man in my early 30s when this seeking behavior came to a boiling point in my life. I had came to a place where the world did not make sense to me anymore, and I was feeling very burned out. I was at a point in my life where life really didn't seem worthwhile. Nothing seemed to make sense.
Couldn't quite get all the joy that you see your neighbors getting out of what's going on.
Right. Really, my experience was a lot like how you find Neo at this point in The Matrix. It shows him just kind of laying there at night in his bed. He's got his clothes on still. He's just obviously existing. You know, he sees a message for him on his computer screen, and that's kind of the beginning of what brings him into this encounter in the movie. I was kind of like that. I was just in a very disheveled state. Now, I was nonetheless a responsible person at the same time that I was going through this. And, of course, in the movie, Neo is. He's got a
he's
job.
He's got a good job.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, he's coming to work late. He's mm-hmm. kind of the fringes around the edges of his life are showing through.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that has to do with the question. I hope that I have listeners today that can relate to that, to the question meaning that much. I think that this is true of all of the remnant, that they have gone through a process like this, or will, of having the nagging question. What exactly the question is not always so well defined as in the movie.
So it might be different for one person than another, but they want the truth. They don't want to just settle for some eye candy or some ear candy. They want
right.
the truth.
Right. You see, it really is always about the truth. Their question might not be, what is the Matrix? But it really is, what is my life about? You see, what is the universe about? What is meaning for me? It has to do with those kinds of questions.
Maybe even identity about yourself. Who am I? Why was I created? What's my purpose?
Right, right. What happens with folks like this is very often they are faced with coincidences that go beyond what is reasonable. Like in my life, while I was going through this period, I had things that happened that were a lot like Neo meeting Trinity. Now, if you think about this in the movie, this is all kind of weird how this happened.
It's very weird.
And he ends up going to this club where he meets Trinity. And then Trinity says these things to him. She even uses his name.
When he hasn't told her.
Right. And so he's wondering, how does she know this about me?
Right.
She knows that I have this question and all of this. And this is what happens with people that I think could well be defined as truth seekers,
mm-hmm.
that they have these kinds of meetings that arise with people that just know things, and they have various types of experiences that later on they look back on and think, wow, that was a supernatural experience, but perhaps in the moment it just seems like another one of those cracks in the universe that I don't understand. this is where Neo is in the movie during this period. And this, I think, is so very, very descriptive of what truth seekers go through. What we know as believers is that all truth is in our Messiah, Yeshua.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's more than one way to look at that. You can come at that as a religious philosophy,
mm-hmm.
where you embrace that with your mind in religious terms. And for most people, that's what the experience really is.
So it doesn't require faith. It doesn't require action. It's just something I believe in my head that must be true.
Well, it does require faith of a religious sort. So, you know, I wouldn't say that there's no faith involved. I think there is. But for most people, it really is what we sometimes call a religious experience.
Mm-hmm.
But there is another kind of experience with Messiah. That experience is very, very different from a religious experience where you are confronted with religious doctrines and so on, and then convinced because of these religious doctrines that you need to accept something as the truth. It's the kind of thing where there is a need down deep inside of your soul.
Maybe something that can't be even uttered in words?
Yes. Very much like the question in Neo. See, this was not just an intellectual question in his head, but it's as if his whole body, his whole existence even, was longing for the answer to the question without even knowing what that would really mean. There's that kind of a longing that can exist inside of a truth seeker. That's the kind of longing that I had. At the time, I was really past religion. I had been in a religion all my life and had given a great deal of my life to it, and it didn't have the answer for me. I had basically come to a point intellectually where I had given up on that religion. Instead, I was really going from a more gut level, trying to identify what the truth was. And I think this is where we find Neo. At a gut level, he needs to know the truth. He meets a specific character who we'll talk about more later in the program from outside the Matrix, who is his guide and guides him to the truth and actually sets him free. Well, in this sense, this is who Messiah really is. He's the first person outside the Matrix.
Outside that dominion of darkness.
Right. He's a very real person, and he knows the difference
mm-hmm.
between the dominion of darkness, and of course, it's the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's where he lives. And he has the answer. And it's very personal and real. And an encounter with him is very personal and real, like the encounter that Neo has in the movie with Morpheus, the person who guides him and helps him along to bring him out of the Matrix. My experience with Messiah was like that. He literally was the one who took me by the hand and pulled me out of the domain of darkness into his kingdom. That has put me in a position where I forever belong to him. Because for me, I can never go back where I came from. And you see, this was after showing me the truth. A truth that I'll be explaining more clearly and fully as we go along in this series of programs. But this is really the source of my own personal union with Messiah. Something very real that he initiated in my life. It's kind of like she said, I mean, yes, I was seeking the truth, so the answer found me.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the answer, and he found me. And it has to be that the truth finds you.
Messiah finds you.
Yes, because let me tell you, you can look and you can look and you can turn over every rock.
Try every religious stream out there, every denomination, every branch.
You won't find it. You can't. You can't find the truth by yourself.
And if you're still trying, we know where that road goes.
Yeah. See, but what you can do is you can want it. You can want the truth. Mm-hmm. The truth can mean more to you than anything else in your life. And if that's really true and you're seeking after the truth will find you, because ultimately the truth is a person and he honors those who have a heart for the truth.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about Zion Ministry. The first thing you need to know about us is that we are sharing these programs with you because Yahweh has put it on our hearts to do so for the sake of the scattered remnant of Israel. We don't have some big well-funded organization or denomination behind us. It is a faith walk for us to bring these programs to you each and every week. We need to broadcast our program on many more stations so that we can reach the scattered remnant in every part of the globe. If you want to help the work of Zion, or if you have any feedback or questions, please contact at our website at www.tsiyon.org. You are listening to On the Road to Zion with Eliyahu ben David.
One verse I like where Messiah talks about something like this is in John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21.
For everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his works would be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be revealed, that they have been done in God.
This is something that we don't have an answer for. I don't know why some people are just evil. You see, most people, in fact, who are not evil, can't even believe that. They can't even believe that some people are just evil.
Good people get hurt because they don't know that the person that they're trusting is evil.
Right. Good people can't really relate to the idea of evil, that there are actual individuals in the world who get pleasure and enjoyment from doing evil. And this is evil of really the most hideous kind.
Who know there's other choices but continually choose evil.
Yeah, there are people like that. And those people love everything that's evil. They love deception. They don't want to get out of deception because deception is what cloaks them. It's what protects them in the midst of doing evil. So they feel very comfortable and wrapped in all of the darkness, in the domain of darkness.
They like trying to think more diabolical than the next guy.
Well, they do, and of course they want to stay under the cloak of darkness. So people like this are very comfortable being in a sort of matrix in this world. But then there are these other people that Messiah talks about, the people who come to the light. These are the people, it says, he who does the truth. Now, I find that a very interesting terminology, a person who does the truth. What does it mean to do the truth?
Well, you know, if you didn't know that was a scripture, you would probably think that someone who spoke English as a second language had said that.
You would. It doesn't sound like normal English, does it?
No.
He who does the truth. This is a person who is a truth seeker. And they put a high value on the truth.
They go after it, they seek it, they learn it, and that's not the end. They actually go out and do it. They live it.
Right, yes. And they live this life of seeking after the truth. Many of these people who are truth seekers, who do the truth, are not who we might normally think of as those who do the truth. Like, you know, normally we might think of these as being very religious people because it's a Bible scripture. So we think, oh, this is very religious people. And yet it might not be religious people at all. At the point where they are on their way coming to the light, moving towards the light, they may not be very religious at all. We might not recognize them really as being those who do the truth.
Because at that level, it's an inner work. It's not an outer work that you can see clearly and easily.
Right. It has to do with an inner motivation. That's really the thing. And of course, this is what Messiah is looking for. He's looking for those people that have that inner motivation, who are walking within the truth within themselves to the best that they can, who are seeking after the truth. And these are not people with perfect lives. Many times they're people with some pretty severe problems and flaws in their life. But nevertheless, they have that drive, that push for the truth, because they want the truth. It's those people that come to the light. And it's because there's something in them that identifies with the light and not the darkness. And of course, ultimately, it's because they are the children of the light.
Right.
And there are people in the world who are destined to be the children of the light. This is a great mystery. And we can't say, well, why is the one person evil?
Sometimes even within the same family.
Right. And yet the other person is righteous. We have the example where God says, Jacob I loved.
Esau I hated.
This is before they were ever born.
Right.
Because God had already identified within their character
right.
the difference in them. One was evil and one was righteous. This is before they're ever even born into the world. So this is really an amazing truth, and it is a fact. There are evil people. There are righteous people. And who you are is eventually going to be manifested. You will be who you are. And if you are an evil person, that's where you're going to end up. Now, I'm not saying that people who do evil cannot be saved, because I'm talking about really a condition within of a person that loves evil. I'm not talking about a person who does evil, because there are lots of people who do evil.
Even sometimes get tricked into doing evil.
Right. Or there are people who think they're evil and therefore they do evil.
Right, yeah.
But in reality, that's not who they really want to be. I'm talking really about this deepest motivation in a person's heart of being a seeker. If they have that and they are seeking after the light is going to find them. And when the light finds them, they are going to cross over into another world, into the reality of the truth. Now, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, there are some verses there that touch on this idea about the truth, about the difference between the people that love the truth and the people that don't love the truth. We're going to read these verses from the point of view of seeing God's mind about these two sets of people.
Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will kill with the breath of his mouth, and destroy by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who are being lost, because they didn't receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Well, these verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 point forward to what occurs just before the return of the Lord. And it talks there about the lawless or Torahless one who will be revealed when the Lord comes. And at that time, the Lord will destroy him. But before his destruction, this lawless one, this Torahless one, it says, is doing works according to Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deception of wickedness for those who are being lost. Another way of expressing what the lawless one does is that he weaves a global matrix of deception. And this is, it says, for those who are being lost. We know elsewhere in Scripture, in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, it tells us that virtually the whole world is caught up and deceived by this deception of this lawless one. Here in these verses, it's so interesting because it says about those who are being lost, why this happens to them. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting because it's being lost, so it's a process. and they're being lost because they didn't receive the love of the truth.
You must have the love of the truth to be saved. That's what it says. They didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. When it's talking about being saved, in this context, this is in juxtaposition to being deceived.
Mm-hmm. Being saved from this web of deception, being saved from this matrixy-like existence.
Right. You see, we don't, today, it's not popular in religious circles to think of salvation in those terms. But in the scriptures, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what I'm pointing out here. I'm pointing out that there is this web of deception in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, this is all going to come under the control of the lawless one, the one sometimes that is called the Antichrist, the Anti-Messiah. This is going to be a powerful web of deception, and it's going to be fortified with power and signs and lying wonders from Satan, so that it's going to be highly believable, and most of the world is going to be caught up in this matrix of deception. Why not? Because most of the world right now is caught up in the matrix of deception. Are they not?
Mm-hmm.
This will be even more so. The deception will only be deepened during this period of time in which the world is being judged. When we get to that point in time, if you do not wake up to the truth, you will be lost. If you wake up to the truth, then you can be saved. What does it take on your part to wake up to the truth so you can be saved? What does it take?
It takes a love of the truth.
A love of the truth.
You have to seek after it with everything in you.
Exactly. That's what it takes, a love of the truth. Then the truth must be its own reward.
Mm-hmm.
Not the truth to get something.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth must be its own reward. And those are the people that can be saved. And I think that Neo, in the movie, is an example of this sort of person. I think that there are many people in that day who will think that they already are saved because they said a religious incantation.
Or they followed a particular doctrine or religious belief.
Right. And they feel that they jump through the hoop.
They got that covered.
But they never had the experience, you see. They never were a lover of truth to seek after the truth and have their eyes open to the deception so that they are changed and therefore saved. Salvation, even the word itself, can be a deception because people can think they are saved when they have not had the true experience of having been saved.
And that's a scary thought for some.
Yeah. But if people continue on in the same deception they were under before, after having gone through an experience they call being saved, then have they really been saved from that deception?
No.
And you see, this is the case really of so many. And it's not up to me to point at individuals and say, this one is saved and that one's not. That's not what I'm doing here. But I'm talking about the fact that there is a real experience. And then there is something that we could call a pseudo-experience. It's a manufactured imitation experience, labeled with the same words, but not having the power of the real experience. And the two things are utterly different from one another, because one truly is a saving experience, and the other is just a placebo pill to make you think you've had the medicine, but you really have not had the medicine, and you're still living in the same deception.
You're still in the dominion of darkness.
You're still there. When you are transferred, you will know that you are transferred. Everything is different. Your sight is different. The world is different. How you see everything is different.
You hear things differently.
Yeah. Yeah, everything is different. And that's something real. It's a real experience that we're talking about. And it only happens for those people that somewhere within them, are the ones seeking after the light, which is just another word for truth. Seeking after the truth. They want to know. They want to be enlightened. They want to live in the truth. They want to be the truth. They want to do the truth. This is something that is an ongoing process. And it's a process before we finally meet up with He who is the truth. And then it's a process that even continues after we meet Him in a different way as we enter into deeper truth. This is another thing I really like about the Matrix movies. We see that there's this great truth where a person is really transferred from one place to another. But then after that happens, they have to go through the process to adapt to the real world and to learn how to interact and live with the fact that there are these two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we face as well when we are unplugged from the world system.
Have you been enjoying today's program? Would you like to hear more from Zion? Then you should visit the Zion Program Archives at www.tsiyon.org. We are putting all of the great Zion programs in our archive online. That way, you can visit our website at www.tsiyon.org and listen anytime you want. You can listen right from the player on the webpage. You can download a program in MP3 to hear later, or you can subscribe to our program as podcasts. We always have some great free programs for you to listen to. The place to go to hear more on The Road to Zion with Eliyahu Ben David is the Zion website at www.tsiyon.org. Drop by for a listen today. Now, on with our program. Could you tell us a little bit more about the process of what one goes through when they're seeking the truth before they actually get there where they know what the truth is?
Well, there's one part in the movie that I think is very profound, and I think that truth seekers can really identify with it. In fact, in this particular part of the movie, what has happened is from the time that the hero, Neo, has started to encounter more about the Matrix, he's had some input now from this Trinity character, and then he has some other very strange things happen to him, all revolving around the Matrix. And now he has another encounter with Trinity. And by this time, he really has been through a lot. And it all seems kind of crazy.
Kind of like his life isn't going very well and in the direction he would like it to the minute he even got close to this idea.
Right. And the thing is, he really is heading towards where he wants to be,
mm-hmm.
but he has this fear sweep over him.
Right.
It's raining. He's sitting in the car where Trinity is. He opens the door of the car, and in this reaction to this fear and everything that's happening to him, he's thinking about getting out of the car and walking away from the whole thing.
Yeah, just the fear of not being in control, not knowing what's going to happen, the fear of the unknown makes him feel like bolting.
Right, like I've had enough of this. I want to go back to a normal life. Let's hear the clip now, and this is the Trinity character speaking to Neo as he's looking out the door, thinking whether he's going to walk away.
Please, Neo, you have to trust me.
Why?
Because you have been down there, Neo. You know that road. You know exactly where it ends. And I know that's not where you want to be.
So I see one of the big issues there is trust.
Yeah, it's a very big issue, especially with so many crazy things going on. You know, he really doesn't have any reason to trust Trinity or any of the other people connected with her. And yet, as she says to him as he's looking down the road, you've been down that road before and you know exactly where it goes. You see, he hasn't been happy with his life.
Mm-hmm.
His whole life is consumed with something he has never experienced yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets out of the car and goes down the street,
he's going to end up back in his same unhappy life that he's had all along.
Right. So you see, this is the dilemma that faces every seeker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us who've been a seeker, we've gone through this thing where we start to get near the truth, and it seems like there are forces in the universe that don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm. And it can scare us away.
Yeah, it really can. I mean, we feel those forces coming against us. And, of course, at this point in our lives, we don't know what it is we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. It may even seem creepy or weird or bizarre.
It really can be very bizarre at times. And for some of us, it can be more bizarre than other people would ever believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can't even talk about it with anyone. You know, there are things that bizarre that happen, friends, that most of us can't even believe or comprehend.
Because nobody would just understand.
No. And so therefore you can't even talk about those things if you have those things happen in your life when you are seeking. And so it can just scare you. And of course that's what those events are meant to do. Just to scare you and make you freeze.
So part of finding the truth takes some courage.
Well, it does take some courage where you realize this is really what my life is about, finding the truth. It's worth it to me to take the risk to deal with the fear. Now, let me say there are risks, and those risks are very real. You are going to lose the things that you are familiar with if you go down that road, you know, if you continue to follow after the truth. Because there's a lot of things that are common and normal to people that nevertheless you cannot continue to hold on to.
You can take it with you for a while, but after a while you have to let go. It's just too heavy to go down that road of seeking the truth and loving the truth with everything in you and carry all that with you.
Yeah, and you see, a lot of us want to hold on to both.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hold on to both worlds.
Or to have control when you let go.
But this is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. Truth will find you, Trinity said, and Messiah basically said the same thing. When truth finds you, it will be probably at a moment in time that seems highly inconvenient to you and highly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it is in those moments, you see, that we prove out what is really true in our heart, what really matters to us. And this is what was happening with Neo. He was feeling afraid. He almost bolted, turned his back on the whole thing. But you see, in the end, what Trinity said to him was right. He had been down that road before. He did know exactly where it went. And you know what? He couldn't stand being there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now he had his chance to move forward.
You know, when I hear you say about Messiah finding you, the truth coming to you and finding you, it makes me think of the scripture that gives you the picture of Messiah standing and knocking on the door of your heart over and over again, because it takes a while for us to even mm-hmm. hear it. Oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? Maybe I better pay some attention to this.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while. It's not just one knock and mm-hmm. we answer the door.
Well, and it's not always because we don't want to, but you see, that's the nature of the deception that we live in. There's a lot of noise in our head. That's what it's all about, so that we don't hear his knock. I think for today's program, we really have done enough. We're going to go into more about this more deeply. We're going to talk about what the Matrix truly is and the nature of the Matrix. I want to talk about my own experience of what happened with me. I have so much more to talk about. But today, while we're talking about these two worlds, I want to pay attention to those people who are the seekers. I want you to know I feel for you. And I understand what it's like to feel pulled in two directions. I was there. The fear of going forward, I know what that is. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray today for the seekers who are hearing this program. They are looking for something real. That's what the truth is, what is real. And they've had enough. They've had enough of lies. They've had enough of religion. They've had enough of emptiness. And they're seeking. I pray, Father, that somehow this program, today's program, and the other programs that are going to be following this will connect with those people. And I pray, Father, that even as we are talking about these things, talking about real freedom to be set free from a world of darkness and deception, to live in a world of light, that instead of just being a concept, that will be something that they will encounter at the same time that we're talking about these things in the program, so that they can come to understand what is really going on with them, so that they can fully and truly be set free. And Father, I ask you this in the name of Yeshua Messiah.
In his new book, Holy Order Restored, Eliyahu ben David shares the amazing truth that within you is the capability to rule in the image of God. That's your birthright, and you can do it. Readers often say this message has the power to restore people to a higher order of life, to be who they are truly meant to be. Read it, do it, be it. Get your copy of Holy Order Restored by Eliyahu ben David at Amazon.com. Or click the link from the Zion website at www.tsiyon.org. Restore holy order to your life starting today.
I brought you out of the nations, house of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the nations.
You have been on the road to Zion with Eliyahu ben David and me. I'm Dawn. To hear us streamed live on the internet worldwide, visit our website at tsiyon.org. Do you love the scattered remnant of Israel as we do? If so, then we need your faithful prayer and financial support to extend the reach of this message to every corner of the globe. Volunteers are needed to partner with us in every aspect of this vital work. If you feel moved to help, or if you just want to learn more about Zion, please visit our website at tsiyon.org. And while you're at the website, you can get your free gift and leave us some feedback so we can keep in touch. On behalf of Eliyahu ben David and myself, thank you for walking this stretch of road with us on the road to Zion. Shalom.
O house of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the nations, house of Israel. For joy, I brought you out of the nations. O house of Israel, weep for joy. Forsaken you, you are my own. I brought you out of the nations. I am preparing to give you new wings, so you'll rise from judgment that my spirit brings. I've not forsaken you. You are my own. I promise.